we're going to continue on by talking about sort of the next steps in a system. So sort of the next steps in the system. Let's harken back for a moment to how you felt other than me about the traditions experience. Now, up to this point, this is sort of a crux moment for us. Because up to this point, you may not have had any control over what has been happening. You may not have been part of the recruiting process as a leader in your organization. You may not have been part of the hiring process. You may not have been part of orientation. But from here on, you have a strong impact on what happens. Because this is where you give. Now, here's the good news. You have the power to continue the journey for this new person the way it was started. Or you have the power to be the one that poisons them and makes them think, why did I come here in the beginning? It was so much different when I was working in recruiting. I think it was so much different. And now that I'm in the operation, oh my gosh, this isn't how it really is. So that is your charge. Your charge is to be the best possible cultural representative of your organization. So when that new person comes along, you are doing all of the things that they have been trained to do. So there's no disconnect in anything. So do you remember? I'm going to show you a picture, see if you remember it. The way you train people sends powerful signals about what your organization values. And remember, this is training once they get to your area. Because you're going to have to do some area-specific training. Now, I hope, you remember this? I hope that you don't have a training room that looks like this when they get to your area. So again, it doesn't have to be anything huge. It doesn't have to be, you know, highly decorated or painted, you know, in fashion colors. It doesn't. It just needs to be sort of clean and tidy and appropriate for training. This is also the point where I want to tell you, you know, many companies believe that training is expendable. And when recession happens, what's the first to go? Training. Business takes a little bit of a downturn. What are we going to get rid of? Training. And we're here to tell you that that is something that, you know, from a Disney perspective, we do not do. Because if you don't keep the money in the training department, then this is probably what will happen rather than this. And there's a real difference in those two rooms, isn't there? This is a typical Disney University classroom. You could take traditions in this room, but there's a variety of other classes that you could have in this room as well. And if training is diminished in any way, then you lose these kinds of things. And then the powerful signal that you're sending about what your organization values is really, you don't really value me that much. You value me enough that you want me in that spot, but you're not going to give me the tools that I need in order to do my job correctly. I also want you to notice what the wall says in this room. You can fly. How do you feel if you leave your first day of work or any day of work from a room that says you can fly? Very empowering. All stages of your training send a message about your organization's culture, from your onboarding all the way through your on-the-job training. So our training process is a pretty extensive one. I sort of explained those steps before we went to lunch. You know, that you would go to traditions, then you would begin your experience in your line of business training. You'd go to a local orientation, wherever you're going to be working, whatever location. And then you're going to do your on-the-job training. And then in addition, there's going to be classes, and you heard this from Aaron and from Meg earlier, there's going to be sort of continual training after that. And we're here to tell you that quality training cannot happen without these things. Without great trainers, effective train-the-trainer sessions, facilities conducive to learning, and and constant updating of training materials. So how many of you have ever gone to training at a business and it was a terrible training room, like the room that we... So how many of you have ever had outdated training materials? And you're like, seriously? We have computers now. No one uses an abacus anymore. How many of you have ever been trained by the person that it's, oh, you know, your trainer's sick, they called in today. Hey, Jim, can you just jump in and fill in? You ever been trained by that person? He's not a trainer. He doesn't really know. And he's like, well, this is your desk, and you've got a phone and a chair. Okay, I'll see you at lunch. And you're sort of left to fend for yourself. In your participant guide on page 37, we sort of indicated for you what happens when you have a low-quality approach to training versus a high-quality approach to training. In terms of trainers, a low-quality approach is, it's not like it's not a wanted job. It's not a job you aspire to do if it's a low-quality approach. In a high-quality approach, you choose those trainers very deliberately, with a lot of passion around who you would choose to be that trainer. Train the trainer sessions in a low-quality approach may be completely non-existent. It may be, hey, here's the binder that training material came with. You can just read the binder and then train it. A high-quality approach, train the trainer sessions, set trainers up to understand the process of training an employee in addition to the materials they need to be trained on. Training materials themselves, a low-quality approach, they're outdated, they're incorrect, they're incomplete. They're really horrible, ugly Xerox copies. We used to be able to really read that well. I see it's like really light now. This must be a bad copy, kind of thing. Versus materials used for training, process manuals, visual aids, are examined on a regular basis and updated. You must be prepared to respond to a changing work environment as needed with regard to your training. What we mean by that is, you may be in a position now where everybody that you work with does not work in the same facility. Is that the case? It is for us too. I live in Florida. We have people that live here in California. I have one coworker who lives in Singapore. So we do a lot of Skype sessions. So I ship all the materials in advance, and then we do a lot of Skype sessions so that we can walk through training. Or we fly out to California and we meet with our team here, because you have to be responsive to those kinds of needs if not everyone sits together. And then the training facility as well. That unorganized room versus a room that's actually set up with the intention of training. Disney example that I'd like to show you is about the train the trainer process. So we have something called the Disney Trainer. Disney trainers are selected from our hourly cast of people. These are examples of Disney trainers. They're recognized as role models in their department, and that's one of the reasons they are chosen. They are also the best of the best in terms of desired behaviors. They're the ones that are on the far right-hand side of that curve, right? So we provide them with job knowledge and understanding so that they can then provide that to their trainees. They teach skills and enhance abilities. They coach to instill confidence in new people. They give the trainee a clear understanding of our organization and their role in the show. That new person needs to understand their role in the show. The method that we use for this, we tell the trainers, the Disney trainers, you must prepare yourself, prepare the learner, describe the role, practice and perform, and follow up and provide feedback. Now, when I say prepare yourself, sometimes that's where people go, and prepare yourself meaning get prepared to understand the person that's standing in front of you. Are they an auditory learner? Are they a visual learner? Do they need to actually push the buttons to learn? Do they want to watch you push the buttons first and then you step out of the way? You have to have that conversation with a new trainee. It can't be sort of a cookie cutter approach, because every person that you come in contact with is going to learn in a slightly different way. So we want to offer up as many tools as possible to our Disney trainers, so that they can train in a very individualized manner. Now, the part you see they're holding it up, here's a bigger picture of it. That's the Disney Trainer pin. So this is the benefit of being a Disney Trainer. You get a little bit more in your paycheck, not much. And you get this pin. You think people want to do this because of the pin? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Napoleon
because
said
this,
that,
this is a pin you can wear on your costume. Napoleon said that, and we don't allow a lot of different accoutrements on your costume. You can't wear flair, you know, on your costume at Disney. But we do allow this. And because we allow this pin, this is a great sense of pride amongst our Disney trainers. So our trainers are going to be highly organized. They're going to understand the learning needs of the individual. They're going to approach every individual as an individual in the training experience. So when I started off, I said training is more important than some organizations would ever imagine. So you see where we're sort of getting at? You know, if training is done the appropriate way, I've communicated culture as well as skill. You know, I've made sure they're a solid fit for who we are. And I've kept reinforcing it sort of every step of the way. And everything that we saw through Ryan speaking right before lunch were things that happen sometimes maybe not at your level. And then everything I've just mentioned are things that happen when they get to you. So remember, you have a real vested interest in this. You know, this isn't the, you know, they got it wrong. If they get to you, and you're not exemplifying those desired behaviors, and you're not taking them in and embracing them the same way that your orientation program did, or that your entire onboarding process did, you're in trouble. Because then they're going to see that there's a huge disconnect between what the company said they valued and what I'm seeing that they value. So we're going to give you a few minutes. We're going to take about 10. It's 2 minutes to 1. So I'm going to come back about 8 to 10 minutes after and get some of your ideas around training. We're on 41.